listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, the truth about having PCOS.
I've had people tell me when I got diagnosed, I was told I wasn't going to be a mom. That is horrible. That is absolutely not true.
But first, there's not enough research to know the impact melanin has on a drug's safety and efficacy.
We have this extreme diversity of skin tones that really differentiates human populations. All these variables need to be part of the equation to truly get to treat people in individual ways.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
So the thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it's uncomfortable to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. And only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection, all-day comfort and protection for up to 8 hours for under $5 a month, based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes account pack.
Most medications undergo years of development and safety testing before ever being given to humans. And once they're approved to move into human research, the drugs are still being observed for how well they work and any side effects they may cause. This practice helps ensure that we're receiving the best possible product, which when taken appropriately, won't cause us harm. This model has seemed to work well, but Sophie Zeyer says that most of this research is overlooking one major variable: skin color.
We have this extreme diversity of skin tones that really differentiates human populations. I all of a sudden realized, like, what do we know about skin pigmentation in relationship to drug testing and to the interaction with drugs? This is where we started identifying, hey, first of all, there's very little information about this. So there's very little research started already in the 70s, 80s. But then you see over time that it's very sparsely investigated.
Zeyer is a molecular biologist and consultant for diversity, equity, and inclusion in research and development, as well as clinical trials. After the connection between melanin and drug safety was first realized over 40 years ago, people mostly forgot about it. The understanding of how our bodies metabolize drugs was never impacted, a mistake that's putting countless lives at risk. In general, after a drug enters the bloodstream, it's usually processed by enzymes, which reduces its effectiveness. But this conversion is taken into account during the research process. However, Simon Groen says that the amount of melanin a person has can create even more change, which is almost never considered.
Melanin can kind of act as a sponge in the skin to take away even more drug from the bloodstream. So depending on those enzymes in the liver and the melanin in the skin, together they kind of determine how much drug is becoming available to actually reach its intended target. So this is very dependent on the type of drug, but for some drugs, melanin can have a very important effect in changing the availability of the drug for reaching the target.
Groen is an assistant professor of evolutionary systems biology at the University of California at Riverside. The fact that melanin attracts drugs isn't the only issue. After they bind together, the melanin slowly releases it back into the body.
So let's say drugs are going to the skin and bind to melanin, then that diminishes the availability in the short term of that drug. But then over the longer term, if that drug is then being released by the melanin, then you might have a more prolonged action of that drug.
So they have these time course experiments where they looked in an animal model. They show that there is more attraction to these melanin-rich regions in the body, which includes the skin, the eyes, and also hair. And then they see this slower release of the compound in the bloodstream over periods of time. But I think much more research is needed to really carefully mimic and study this, how this actually works.
Researchers have been using this phenomenon to their advantage when creating eye medications, and it could make treating skin conditions more effective. But the dangerous downside to this process has been underestimated. The first concern is that at a research level, this effect could mess with the dosing studies. It could appear that the drug is inconsistent when in reality, it's a difference in how much of that drug is available for the body to use. Down the road, this can lead to doctors under or over prescribing medications to people with pigmented skin. But the second question is, if the melanin slowly releases the drug back into the body, when do you give a second dose?
So the timing of the dosing is important as well, because that's then, that also shifts over time because you get this absorption and release, slow release. So it's timing of the dosage and the dosage itself for the treatment of the intended target.
In an effort to rectify this oversight, Congress recently amended the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to require diversity action plans for certain clinical trials of drugs, medical devices, and biological products. This means that the research sponsors will have to set diversity goals for their participants based on sex, race, ethnicity, and age.
And so they are working on that in order to get that recruitment, to basically recruit more people from African descent or Asian descent or Hispanics. But there's a huge gap that in preclinical, there's no attention for it. And that is exactly what we would like to illuminate, because if you recruit the people in clinical trials, if diverse people, they need to know the safety and efficacy data from preclinical to make an informed decision. And at the moment, that cannot be given because nobody is looking at it in preclinical.
However, there are current technologies available to make this happen. It's just a matter of the industry deciding that they want to. Zyrin Groen recently published an article in the journal Human Genomics that aims to light a fire under the scientific community to finally take this information seriously. They break down why we should care and offer tangible actions researchers can do right now that will make a big difference. Zyrin says these tests can even be done in a petri dish.
And so now it becomes interesting because you can test it in the laboratory to understand the relationship between drugs and pigments, to understand how this dynamic could be interrupted or changed. And you can use this to make clinical decisions what you measure and at what frequency you measure it. So it's really informative for clinical decision making to do the initial test in a petri dish.
Another innovative option is using 3D skin models. Their development has been pioneered by the beauty industry in an effort to test products more accurately while also moving away from animal testing.
So L'Oreal was a front runner. Actually, most of the real beautiful scientific papers describing the skin and pigment in the skin are done by scientists working at L'Oreal. But through that innovation, actually now companies have been formed that actually offer these 3D skin models with and without pigments for people to purchase and actually use in their own labs. And it's really a turnkey solution. So you put your order in and you get it with all the media and everything, you can start right away, which is so important because otherwise every pharma company, let's say, would have to develop their own skin models and have to standardize it to make it reproducible, so to create reproducible results. But because these vendors now exist, creating these 3D cell models, pharma labs can adopt them right away and actually test whether their drugs has indeed affinity for melanin and start investigating indeed what's the kinetics, how it affects the kinetics of the drug in the body.
Once they know these effects, they can adjust the clinical protocols and create safer, more effective products for people with higher levels of melanin in their skin. However, Zyrin notes that accounting for melanin is just the first step. When doing this research in human cells, she says that scientists really need to be reporting the ancestry of these samples.
There's a lot of genetic variants that contribute to whether a skin is pigmented or not. So we don't really understand how it genetically works. So therefore, it's super important to have genetic ancestry associated with the skin models used in the laboratories so we can understand how the drug kinetics is related eventually, maybe in a couple of years, understand how the drug kinetics is related to genetics and basically variants, and that we can now start to predict it in the future better.
Which will help streamline the research process. And while AI can be an incredibly useful tool in combing through all of this data, scientists need to first broaden the data points they're looking at.
I don't think we are giving sufficient variables, or are we measuring sufficient variables for potential algorithms to extract how a drug works differently in a person of Northern European descent versus a person of African descent. And we need to work towards that, giving all the variables, genetics, how does a drug interact with melanin from skin models, the metabolites of the liver. All these variables need to be part of the equation to truly get to treat people in an individual way, so working towards precision medicine.
And as she mentioned earlier, Zaire believes that the action that can have the most immediate impact is fairly simple. Scientists need to start documenting the specific ancestry of the cells used in research.
If you use the cell of Northern European descent, report it. That's now not happening. If you use a cell of Northern African descent, and we want to be as specific as possible, report it. And so, because once we start reporting, we have data, we have this information we can use to start seeing patterns. We can start using that in algorithms that we are using increasingly. But at the moment, in terms of diversity and acknowledging that there's different human populations, there's not enough reporting in the earlier stages and later on clinical trials either. And once we start reporting, we can start to see patterns.
While this type of detailed reporting is part of the scientific process, Zaire says that for some reason it's been ignored when it comes to human diversity. Both Zaire and Groen hope their advocacy reaches the patients and helps them realize the questions they should be asking.
For example, when they are considered for participation in a clinical trial, they could ask the doctors like, hey, before you give me this new drug that is in development, has this been tested on cell models that are representative for my ancestry? So right now, if people are of like European descent, then in most cases, the answer is yes, it's been tested on cell models from European descent. But for people originally from like sub-Saharan African descent, then it's often the case that such drugs have not yet been tested preclinically on cell models that also have origins in sub-Saharan Africa. So that's something that people should, I think, really ask their doctors, like, hey, is this experimental drug like really safe for people of my ancestry?
Groen believes that having more people ask these questions will convince the pharmaceutical companies to start considering this diversity in their preclinical research. And at the very least, it gives the patients better information to decide if they're willing to accept the potential risks of the drugs they're taking. You can find more information about Simon Groen, Sophie Zaire, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, everything you need to know about PCOS when Radio Health Journal returns.
That smells good, Mom. What you making?
Just a little something. Collard greens, cornbread, fried chicken, and peach cobbler. Some leftovers.
Some leftovers? Listen, I've been meaning to talk to you about some new COVID information I saw online.
See, because you're always on that phone.
I'm serious. I read that 3 out of 4 adults in the United States have a high risk factor for severe COVID-19. And Black folks like us with certain conditions like diabetes, heart disease, mental health conditions, or being 50 and older, like you, are at high risk.
Boy, you sound like a commercial.
I'm just saying. I know you love your ginger teas and essential oils. But remember, there are treatment options for COVID-19 if you ever get it again.
Uh-huh. I promise, if I get sick again, I'll call my doctor to ask about my options. I love you.
I love you, too. I'm glad we had this talk.
Me, too. Now get out of my kitchen.
All right.
Paul Polycystic ovarian syndrome is a hormonal condition that affects at least 1 in 10 women. It appears when the body has an imbalance of reproductive hormones. But since this issue can cause a whole range of symptoms, Dr. Laura Shaheen says it's often underdiagnosed.
It is not a black and white diagnosis. It's a collection of signs and symptoms. It often presents with irregular and unpredictable menstrual cycles due to irregular and unpredictable ovulation. And that's a part of the hormone imbalance. Two other things that are often associated with it are clinical or laboratory findings of elevated androgens or male hormones. We all have both female and male hormones, but in PCOS, it's a little bit balanced towards the androgens or the male hormones.
Which can cause acne, thick hairs on the mustache and chin areas, and even male pattern baldness. Shaheen is a double board certified OBGYN and reproductive endocrinologist at Pacific Northwest Fertility. Another sign of PCOS is a higher than average egg supply.
So you can look at the ovaries on ultrasound and see all of these little follicles, kind of more than you would expect for someone at a certain age, or an elevated blood test called anti-Müllerian hormone, or AMH, kind of above average for what you'd expect.
Most women are born with all the eggs they'll ever produce, around 1 to 2 million at the time of birth, and that includes those with PCOS. The difference is that during ovulation, the typical 10 to 15 eggs available to be fertilized drastically increases for women with PCOS.
They might have 20, 30, 40, 50 follicles that are kind of up for grabs, visual. That's why their AMH is so much above average or higher. It's like all these little follicles or eggs are kind of fighting to be the one to ovulate. And that's one of the reasons that the ovulation is off, because they get kind of confused. And so if you're not ovulating on a predictable timeline, you could have really unpredictable menstrual cycles and only get a period 3 or 4 times a year.
This unpredictable pattern is part of the reason why so many people think that having PCOS causes infertility. Shaheen says that while it doesn't cause infertility, it can make conceiving more difficult because ovulation may only happen a few times a year.
It's difficult to time trying to get pregnant if you aren't actually sure when you're ovulating. And I just really want to clarify that so many people are told within the same sentence of getting the diagnosis, like when they're teenagers or in their 20s, you have PCOS, you are going to be infertile. And I just wish there was more education at that point, or kind of understanding that it could impact fertility. But as long as you can ovulate, there's sort of simple things that we can help as far as a fertility doctor or reproductive endocrinologist to help people ovulate on time. If you're just ovulating regularly, you still have a very high chance of getting pregnant. It doesn't have to be just awful sort of, I've had people tell me, oh my gosh, when I got diagnosed, I was told I wasn't going to be a mom. That is horrible. That is absolutely not true.
It just means that the journey may take some more time and resources in order to figure out how your specific body works. Shaheen says that before turning to medications, which are helpful options, she tries to help her patients optimize their life for health.
You can learn your body and learn how nutrition can help you and how moving your body can help you, and then get the signal of more regular ovulation, because PCOS has long-term health impacts like increased risk of cardiovascular disease, insulin resistance, diabetes. So there's really great kind of positive things to share. Like, you can move your body 3 or 4 times a week with pretty low impact, kind of 30, 40 minutes. And without using exercise to say like, oh, you need to lose weight to, you know, be healthy with PCOS, just moving your body without a change in a scale, like a number on a scale, that can help people start ovulating.
Movement helps reduce insulin resistance and allows the hormones to communicate more effectively. And in line with most other health tips, eating whole foods and limiting consumption of ultra-processed foods can only help. Shaheen often has her patients work with a nutritionist to find the best plan to balance their lifestyle.
It's not a quick fix, but it's sort of taking a look at all of these things to hopefully help. There are some supplements that have been shown to really help with PCOS. inositol, which is basically like a sugar in our body. It sort of can act like an insulin sensitizer, again, to help with decreasing, you know, this stress on the body and help insulin work better to help with ovulation. But definitely work with a provider, you know, be careful where you're buying supplements and get the right thing. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done.
Another tool that can help but is often misunderstood is birth control. Shaheen says these pills can mask the symptoms of PCOS since it evens out the body's hormones. However, she often sees myths online from people claiming that birth control causes PCOS.
Where that comes from is people will stop birth control pills for whatever reason, but very common in my practice, is they stop it because they want to get pregnant. And then they're not getting their periods. You know, the acne comes back. They go to the doctor, you know, a new doctor, because this is a decade later, and the doctor diagnoses them with PCOS, doesn't explain why the birth control pills masked the symptoms. And then they'll read an Instagram post that says, the birth control pills caused your PCOS, and now I'm going to sell you a supplement to, you know, make it all better. But it's those evil birth control pills. Birth control pills are not for everyone, but they really can be so helpful in certain situations. And a lot of people with PCOS are just, their symptoms are better. They're so much happier on them. You know, doesn't mean that they have to take them, but just that misconception that they cause PCOS is not true.
If you're wondering how these myths can be so prominent in society, it's because there's still a lot we don't know about this condition. Shaheen says that her own medical education barely touched on PCOS. In fact, all of her knowledge comes from a personal sense of responsibility to stay up to date on the latest research. Otherwise, she'd still be treating her patients with outdated knowledge from 20 years ago, which is sadly a common practice for many physicians. These old-fashioned methods are part of the reason why PCOS goes undiagnosed in many women.
The person that was in my textbook when I learned about PCOS was a little bit overweight, had acne, and was not getting periods. And I was taught, again, this is a long time ago, that like that is PCOS. So there's a lot of people that have, I think of it like a spectrum, like people will not have any difficulty losing weight. And the only way it shows up for them is irregular ovulation and maybe a high egg count, but they don't have any of the sort of androgen things that show up like acne or something like that. And other people, it can show up in so many different ways. If it's not on your radar, if you're not thinking about it, you could definitely miss it.
Shaheen dives into more of the issues surrounding PCOS and fertility on her podcast, Baby or Bust. You can find more information about this condition, Dr. Laura Shaheen, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
Grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Medical notes this week. How scientists could catch schizophrenia sooner than ever before. Having an early diagnosis can significantly improve a patient's quality of life through proper management of their symptoms. Thankfully, new research published in the journal Nature Mental Health just made a huge advancement toward early detection. Scientists were able to identify certain brain structures that give insights into a person's irregular brain function. Until now, these markers have gone unnoticed. Ultra-processed foods may be raising your blood sugar levels. It's not just the extra sugar and salt, but the additives that are found in these products that can lead to higher blood glucose levels. Additionally, these foods are linked to increased rates of obesity, depression, heart disease, and early death. The research is published in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. How happiness supports your brain health. New research in the Journal of Aging and Health reports that the risk of dementia is lower in people with better mental health. The 12-year study suggests that having a positive mindset can not only improve quality of life, but also lessens the burden associated with cognitive decline. And finally, are robots better doctors? New surgical robots are able to imitate skilled surgeons by watching videos of the procedures. In fact, the machines are able to predict the next correct motion and do things that they were never taught. Researchers believe this is propelling the medical field into a new era of robotic autonomy. The paper is a focus of the 2024 Conference on Robot Learning in Munich, Germany. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
That smells good, Ma. What you making?
Just a little something. Collard greens, cornbread, fried chicken, and peach cobbler. Some leftovers.
Some leftovers? Listen, I've been meaning to talk to you about some new COVID information I saw online.
See, because you're always on that phone.
I'm serious. I read that 3 out of 4 adults in the United States have a high risk factor for severe COVID-19. And Black folks like us with certain conditions like diabetes, heart disease, mental health conditions, or being 50 and older, like you, are at high risk.
Boy, you sound like a commercial.
I'm just saying. I know you love your ginger teas and essential oils. But remember, there are treatment options for COVID-19 if you ever get it again.
Uh-huh. I promise, if I get sick again, I'll call my doctor to ask about my options. I love you.
I love you, too. I'm glad we had this talk.
Me, too. Now get out of my kitchen.
All right.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a wintry mix of some light freezing drizzle and rain and snow today. High temperatures warming to the mid-30s. Southeast winds developing 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, wintry mix continues, lows in the mid-20s.
Right now, it's 34.
This week on Viewpoints.
There was a kid from South Philly, a third floor walk up, had left me standing at midcourt before 10 or 11,000 fans.
One man's journey from fighting to play in the NBA to becoming coach of the year. Then,
you find a way to do it. Don't panic. Just take a deep breath and keep moving forward.
Post-Hurricane Helene, small business owners are rebuilding with determination. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
This
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
We all want more. More experiences. Space for the things that matter the most. Skip the ordinary and take a detour to the extraordinary. There's so much more to discover. Start your next adventure in America's all-time best-selling SUV. The new, well, you know what it is. It's all in the name. The new 2025 Ford Explorer SUV, built Ford proud.
Based on S&P Global Mobility, 1946 to current U.S. total new cumulative registrations for all vehicles identified as SUVs.
The National Basketball Association, or NBA, is a mainstay in American sports. Today, on average, about 3 million fans tune in to every game to watch players like LeBron James, Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant dominate the court. But go back 70 years, and these players wouldn't have been allowed in the league.
The NBA was segregated for 3 years, from 1947 to 1950. In 1950, the NBA drafted Earl Lloyd from West Virginia State College, and then they drafted four of the great players. Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Elgin Baylor, four African-American men that were very prominent in building the NBA.
That's Ray Scott, a former NBA player, coach, and author of The NBA in Black and White. Growing up, Scott thought his dreams of playing professionally would never take shape because of the color of his skin. Back then, black players could only play on teams known as the Black Fives, which were not officially recognized as part of the NBA. For Scott, black players finally getting drafted in 1950 meant that he had a shot to make it to the main stage. And he did.
I was drafted in 1961 into the NBA after never even thinking that I would be drafted particularly prominently into the NBA.
But even after the NBA desegregated, it took nearly 10 years for black players to have an equal chance at getting recruited. Why the delay?
North Carolina, Duke, Alabama, Auburn, all of those schools, African-American kids couldn't attend. So coming through the 60s, that was beginning to happen. And so consequently, the NBA, because it was a league that was constructed of All-Americans, kids that made All-American in college or that were prominent in high school and became prominent in college, that was who was drafted into the NBA.
Once these universities desegregated, a greater number of black players began to get drafted into the NBA in the 60s. While Scott and other athletes were rising up through the sport during this time, it was a different reality for the average black American.
That 60s period was so tumultuous because my career as a 16-year-old in high school was paralleled with the murder of Emmett Till in 1955 in Mississippi. And this is simply a young 14-year-old kid that was accused of some dastardly deed.
Till's horrific murder acted as a catalyst for the emerging civil rights movement. This key political fight demanded an end to racial segregation and discrimination. While the NBA on paper was desegregated, black athletes still faced these same hurdles. The attitudes present across America bled into the league as black players endured harassment and heckling on and off the court. When playing in southern states, they couldn't eat or stay at the same places as their white teammates. Across the league, there were also rumors of teams having an unofficial quota of four black players per roster. Despite these challenges, Scott continued to push forward in his career. His tenure as a player spanned from 1961 to 1972 as a member of the Detroit Pistons, Baltimore Bullets, and the Virginia Squires. After his retirement, Scott became the head coach of the Pistons and went on to win Coach of the Year in 1974. In fact, he was the first black man ever to be honored with this award.
It forced me to take a look back on how I became or how I came to come to such an honor because I was a kid from South Philly, a third floor walk up, and left me standing at midcourt before 10 or 11,000 fans at Cobo Hall in Detroit. wondering how I got to this position in my life, how so many people had intervened and helped me and supported me to become a player, to stay out of trouble, to go to school. It just leaves you just standing at midcourt thinking about all these things. And I remember the commissioner, the deputy commissioner, Cy Gordine, asked me if I had any words. And I said, no, because I had to go out and coach right after that against the Chicago Bulls in a playoff series. So I certainly wasn't thinking about how honored and how thrilled I was at that time.
Now, off the court and looking back, Scott says that receiving this title was the highlight of his NBA career. The irony is not lost on him that the NBA went from a segregated league to now, almost 80 years later, a landscape in which its highest paid and most prominent players are black. Scott says the league has shown through its actions that it's able to look inwards and change.
I think the other leagues, particularly the NFL, because that's our number one sport in the country, can learn some things. I write in the book about Colin Kaepernick and how, you know, he was just blackballed out of football. And I don't even think he has a career left. But we had a kid in the NBA who changed his name and became Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Mahmoud was suspended for not standing for the national anthem. He was brought to the table. Let's talk about this. He was reinstated back into the NBA and had a 7 or 8 year career because we chose to talk about it. We chose to look at it from his perspective. What is it that he's thinking? What is it that he's feeling? And the NBA charged straight ahead, and this kid played out his career.
The NBA awarded $25 million to former players of the ABA, the American Basketball Association, a separate league that ran from 1967 to 1976.
The NBA had a league begin called the ABA, the ones with the red, white, and blue ball. And so I played in that league for 2 years. And the guys that played in that league played extremely hard. They did what they could do to bring this league to fruition. But after 10 years, the league folded. And so you were left with 150 to about 200 players that if they weren't absorbed into the NBA, and four teams were, then what do these guys do?
At a time when discrimination ran rampant and the NBA was still predominantly white, the ABA was where many black players were able to play professionally. After its demise, many of these athletes who were not picked up by the NBA left basketball. In recent years, it's come to light that many former ABA players have fallen into poverty and homelessness. After hearing this, NBA players, coaches, and personnel stepped up.
They awarded those players in the ABA, and there will be 114 of them, which will receive at least now $11,000 a year, not all the money in the world, but it's more than they had before this happened. Through that meeting, they got $25 million awarded to them. And that will make an incredible difference to these gentlemen.
While this is one positive narrative, there's always room for change. Why did it take so long for these players to get compensated for the discrimination they faced back in the 60s? Scott says it's these conversations that move the needle forward.
When you bring people to the table and you respect their position and they respect yours, you can arrive somewhere, you can get somewhere. And that's what I believe in the book that I wrote. That's what I believe about the NBA.
To find out more about Ray Scott, visit viewpointsradio.org. You can find his book, The NBA in Black and White, on Amazon.com or request copies to be stocked at your local bookstore. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on Twitter and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Quicksilver Card. Earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase, everywhere. Plus, there's no limit on the amount of cash back you can earn. It's that simple. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Coming up, business owners in North Carolina are picking up the pieces after Hurricane Helene when Viewpoints returns.
Ah, the holidays. A time to come together and reflect on what truly matters.
The KFC Festive Feast for $25.99. feel the joy
of 6 original recipe tenders and 6 pieces of hand-breaded chicken.
Family and friends celebrating.
2 large sides and 3 sauces.
The warmth of
11 herbs and spices.
Love. I was going to say love.
And KFC.
Okay, the KFC Festive Feast. Order ahead on the app and feast for just $25.99. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra. Online ordering available at participating locations.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with Flex Foam can. Get up to 0 leaks, 0 odor, and 0 feel. Because Flex Foam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what Flex Foam can do for you.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Again, Scent Bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, Maraca, senor. But his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Ever since he was a little boy, Jonathan Parks dreamed of owning a business. His dream came true in 2017 when he and his partners, Jonathan and Jeremy Chasner, opened Zillicoa Beer Company, a brewery on 4 acres of land along the French Broad River in Asheville, North Carolina. Zillicoa is a native Cherokee word meaning raging waters. Little did Parks and his partners realize the name was like a prophecy that came true 7 years later. In late September, Hurricane Helene made landfall in Florida as a Category 4 storm. It quickly reached the mountains of western North Carolina, leaving a path of destruction in its wake and killing hundreds of people. Jonathan Parks says the brewery was almost immediately impacted.
All of the tanks on the south side of the building, everything on the south side of the building was completely blown out. It's just gone. Our brew house and our clean cellar, which is where we make our lagers and clean ales and IPAs and things like that, on the north side of the building was all still there and is still there because they were all full of liquid, so they weren't able to move anywhere.
Even though the business is on the riverfront, Parks and his partners didn't have flood insurance. He says it would have cost them upwards of $40,000 a year to purchase it. They figured the worst-case scenario would be a foot of water in the building, which had happened once before. Parks and his team had already built the infrastructure of the brewery to withstand a small level of flooding.
We actually built everything to code to be 24 inches and higher. So all the electrical stuff, all the mechanical stuff, aside from a few pumps, was lifted off the ground. Everything was made for a foot of water, 2 feet of water.
But on Thursday, September 26th, Parks received a phone call from the city of Asheville, which made him a little nervous.
I got a call from the city saying that we were going to have historic and catastrophic flooding. And I was like, oh, damn, we should do something. We can put some stuff up. We had just gotten a shipment of cans that were printed and they were beautiful. So we moved those up. And, you know, we put things up that we could just to prepare for that foot of water that we might have in the worst case scenario.
The worst case scenario turned out to be a lot worse than just a foot of water. Just a few days later, Zillicoa Beer Company had 6 feet of water inside the building. Since early October, Parks and his partners have been trying to figure out a way to fix the damage. They've started a GoFundMe page and plan to rebuild on the same spot. He says he doesn't know how long the process will take.
Anybody that's built out a building like that or built a business in a place knows that you hit roadblocks that you never thought you would run into and that seem like they're game enders, you know, but then you find a way around it. You find a way to do it. Don't panic. Just take a deep breath and keep moving forward. It is concerning having all of our eggs in one basket right near the river there, but I'd like to think that there's going to be some serious re-engineering of the spillways and the just the way that they mitigate flooding in the future. I really hope to see that.
Christine DiBenedetto is another Asheville business owner who was impacted by the flooding caused by Hurricane Helene. She owns Wink Salon, which is located in Biltmore Village, one of the hardest hit areas in the city. DiBenedetto was about to celebrate the business's 20th anniversary when the storm hit. Like Park, DiBenedetto received dire warnings from the city about the possibility of catastrophic flooding. She says never in her wildest dreams did she imagine the devastation that would greet her when she returned to her salon once the floodwaters had receded.
The mud was at least like 2 feet. So we were able to get in there, but we had to slosh through like a ton of mud and like break our door down a little bit to even get into the building where there was so much mud.
DiBenedetto pivoted quickly. With no power, no internet, and no running water in Asheville, she looked elsewhere for help. She says she was determined to get some semblance of her business up and running again. She called colleagues in a town 25 miles away that had power and water and asked if she could use their shop on off days for her clients.
When you have a business, you just have to stop the gap. You have to plug all of the holes because there is deferral and there's a little bit of forgiveness, but it's just temporary and you still owe money back. And so we knew that we've already gone through this with COVID. COVID was a good example of how you have to shut a business down, plug the holes, restart a business, and all the things that were going to happen. So I immediately jumped into action starting that.
43% of small businesses never reopen after a disaster. That's according to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. An additional 29% go out of business within 2 years of one, even with the help of Small Business Administration low-interest loans. Research by the J.P. Morgan Chase Institute shows that small businesses typically don't have enough buffer cash to tide them past 27 days. DiBenedetto hopes that's not the case for her. Before the storm, she had employed 32 stylists. Now she's down to 10.
Some went to work at other salons. Some went to work at like little studios, open up their own thing, and some left the city.
Before Helene hit, DiBenedetto had achieved her dream, providing her employees with extensive career training, a 401k plan, and health insurance benefits. Today, it's a different story.
Now it's a new era and renaissance time, and it's going to be creating a new business model that gives a little bit more freedom to myself and more autonomy and responsibility to the stylist. And then wait and see how long it will take to put that other location, the walls back together. It's down to the studs now.
DiBenedetto says there are a lot of unknowns ahead for many people and for the city of Asheville itself.
Asheville's a city divided right now. It's divided among the people that really have lost like everything, their business and their homes, and among the other parts of town where it's business as usual. So people just be patient with businesses and support the small business because they're the ones that really like help elevate your city and give people jobs to own homes. And so just go out there and have compassion and support your small businesses.
Asheville and other North Carolina communities have a ways to go towards rebuilding parts of the city. But the residents and business owners there like to say they are hashtag Western NC strong. To learn more about our guests this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by Progressive. Since 2013, the annual Progressive Keys to Progress event has provided deserving veterans with vehicles. helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more about this program at keystoprogress.com.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Ah, the holidays. A time to come together and reflect on what truly matters.
The KFC Festive Feast for $25.99.
Feel the joy
of 6 original recipe tenders and 6 pieces of hand-breaded chicken.
Family and friends celebrating.
2 large sides and 3 sauces.
The warmth of
11 herbs and spices.
Love. I was going to say love.
And KFC.
Okay. The KFC Festive Feast. Order ahead on the app and feast for just $25.99. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra. Online ordering available at participating locations.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. In early 2020, Quibi, a short-form video streaming service, made headlines by raising $1.7 billion before its official launch. But just 6 months after going live, the platform shut down abruptly. At the time, the Wall Street Journal blamed the failure on the pandemic, a lack of subscribers, and the fact that the streaming service market was already overcrowded. Now, short-form streaming services and short-form video seem to be more popular than ever. Video apps like Dramabox and Real Short offer feature-length films split up into bite-sized content. Think similar to TikTok or Instagram Reels. But with these new streaming platforms, the more clips you want to see, the more you have to pay. This strategy seems to be paying off. Both Dramabox and Real Short have generated tens of millions of dollars in revenue from in-app purchases so far this year. Downloads for both apps are also up 992% from 2023. That's according to App Store data. What explains this increase? Well, as social media sites push short-form video content, people are becoming accustomed to the format. Quick videos are easy to consume and save you from having to carve out time in your day to watch longer content. These types of videos are also easier to watch on mobile devices. According to eMarketer, for the first time, Americans are spending more time on their cell phones than they are watching television. Quibi may have seemed like a failed experiment just a few years ago, but now it seems short-form video has exploded, with new platforms capitalizing on our increasing appetite for quick, on-the-go entertainment. As social media and mobile devices continue to dominate, the future of streaming may be shorter and more profitable than ever before. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. The film A Real Pain is a delicate portrait of two young men, cousins David and Benji, touring around Poland and memorializing the Holocaust in honor of their late grandmother. The film, from director, writer, and star Jesse Eisenberg, is worth seeking out for a number of reasons. For example, it's at times uproariously funny and at others devastating. Will Sharp of the White Lotus fame turns in a memorable performance as James, a well-meaning tour guide, and the movie's cinematography manages to communicate the beauty of Poland directly on screen. But the story of A Real Pain is Kieran Culkin turning in a signature performance that takes the chaotic but somehow charming energy of Roman Roy and plugs it into the free-spirited Benji Kaplan. In turns supremely charming and incredibly grating, Benji's a character who you can't look away from, and Culkin's performance gives the movie a zest and an edge that most Sundance dramedies are lacking. By bouncing Culkin's performance off of Eisenberg's straight-laced David, A Real Pain finds two modern avatars for that constant search for meaning a couple of generations removed from the Holocaust. And that reminds me of one more of the big reasons A Real Pain is a film worth seeking out. Its portrayal of the Holocaust, frankly, reminds audiences of just how hideous that horror was, and how long its shockwaves can reverberate through generations. Eisenberg's script takes the Holocaust's legacy seriously, and his direction allows audiences to slow down and feel the weight of it when he needs them to. Between the two of them, Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin have turned a little road dramedy into one of the best films of the year. A Real Pain is in theaters now. I'm Evan Rook.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dry Cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Swiffer takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a wintry mix of some light freezing drizzle and rain and snow today. High temperatures warming to the mid-30s. Southeast winds developing 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, wintry mix continues, lows in the mid-20s.
Right now, it's 34.
It's not.